Let's come to our Bible reading, and if you want to turn to James chapter 5, we're just reading those few verses, chapter 5, 7 to 12. James chapter 5. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient. Stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count it as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. May God bless that word to us and may give us understanding of it. As we continue our study in James' Gospel, right in the middle of this fifth chapter, we notice James is returning to what he originally brought to us in chapter 1, verse 2. What did he say in chapter 1, verse 2? You ask? Well, there we have it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's the theme that James is picking up here now. Perseverance, endurance, steadfastness. He wants the believers to know that there is something about being absolutely grounded in their faith. Be patient, he says, especially those who were enduring hardship and who were particularly going through difficult times. And already in this chapter, James has told us of the situation faced by many people in the early church. There we have it in the early chapters there. They were being cruelly exploited by powerful men, exploited by the world in that sense. And he repeats the word patient four times, and six times he calls them to be steadfast. So there's something in that, isn't there? They need to be patient and they need to be steadfast in their walk with God and in their obedience to God. And of course, James wants to give them a message of hope. In the midst of all that they're going through, there is a hope. And of course, the Christians were suffering because they were Christians. That's the bottom line. They are standing for righteousness, and James wants to encourage them and show them that in the midst of all that they're going through, patient endurance is so essential and necessary. So let's look at these verses together, because verses 7 to 9, of course, they call for patience in light of the coming judgment. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield his crop, valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn spring rains. Be patient, he says, like a farmer. Even when he can't see the crop, he knows what he's planted. And he waits patiently for it to come up and to develop and to become a crop. There's a time for the harvest. And what basically he's trying to tell us here, of course, there's a time for everything. God has a time for everything in our lives. From the first time that seed was put in our hearts to know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a timetable for us. He's working out our purposes. We cannot always see it, but it's there. See, it's Spurgeon who said this: I find that God gives me grace to keep on going, to wrestle, because I know that victory will come. And goes on to say, a patient person is saved from a great deal of haste and folly. A patient person is saved from a great deal of haste and folly. And we'll see that as we go through here now. You see, every day we receive goodness and providence that God brings to us, and nothing can rob us of that, of course. And when we think about the need for patient endurance, he has this wonderful illustration of a farmer. He waits with hope. He continues working, hoping that everything will come right, knowing that it will come right. And we realize, of course, that everything is outside our power. We know that God will bring a harvest in our lives. It was Moffat who said, the farmer had to wait for the rainfall twice a year. He could nothing to bring it about by himself. And he didn't lose heart when he didn't see the crop coming up. He just knew that it would, because he trusted with patience. Impatience is a terrible thing, isn't it? Where I think we're all guilty of it sometime or another. Get impatient with things, get impatient with people, get impatient with things that's happening. And one of the main triggers for impatience is when we feel some wrong has been done to us. We were right, everybody else is wrong. And we become very impatient with that. You feel impatient with a particular situation you're going through, or difficulty, or something that's happened to you. You feel upset. You want to see some evidence of God's grace and God working in your life, that we don't see it as much as we thought we would see it. But when the farmer eventually sees the harvest, he rejoices. He's waited patiently, he's watered, he's done everything he can do. It's up to God to bring the harvest, and he rejoices when it comes. Same with us. Patient, he's saying. Be patient. All sorts of things can happen. All sorts of difficulties you can go through. But be patient, because God will bless. God will bring about a harvest in your life and through your life. But it's always in his perfect timing. Not in our timing, his timing. So he says be patient, but he also says be steadfast as well in verse 8. You too, patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. He's getting stronger now, isn't he? Be patient and be steadfast. Old boys, we hate motto though, wasn't it? Sure and steadfast. Oh, probably only Mark and I know about it. God. See, sure and steadfast, of course. Sure and steadfast, it's a good motto to have. Good motto to have for a Christian, isn't it? We're sure of God's faithfulness and we're steadfast in his provision. James, of course, speaks about endurance, perseverance, and steadfastness. Sometimes, you know, we can become a bit weary in the Lord's service. Even in our walk with the Lord, things sometimes upset us. We don't feel things are going right. We feel tired and weary. I'm sure that lovely illustration from the farmer, sometimes he might sit there and think, will it really come about? But he's patient. He's steadfast. And that's what James is exhorting us to be. Steadfast. Yes, tiredness, weariness, problems, difficulties can come in our way. But nevertheless, by the grace of God, we are what we are, and we are where we are. That's a wonderful thing. We are what we are, and we are where we are. But it's also in God's perfect timing. He's working out that will and purpose in our lives. Sometimes, of course, we're full of doubts. We lack joy. The way seems tiresome. However, Jesus is our salvation, and we pray we are saved for eternity. We always have that. No matter what, we're eternally bound if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Our future is secured. And of course, there's a sense in which the Lord's coming was in James's time. They look forward to the Lord coming back again, and we still do. His coming is as much at hand now as it was then, and will be until he comes. So he says, be patient, be steadfast. Be patient and steadfast in your walk with the Lord. But then verse 9, I'll read it first and I'll tell you the heading I've got. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. A title came to me. Stand firm, be patient, be sweet, be kind, be helpful. That's the opposite to grumbling, isn't it? Be sweet. He's talking about the sin of grumbling against one another. Or murmuring, that's a lovely word. Grumbling is when you make it loud. Murmuring is when you hold your breath. Sometimes, of course, we become impatient with others. The weakness in our brother or sister in Christ. The faults that they display. We get impatient with younger believers. We feel they should be further on than what they are. Remember, we've had a lifetime to become matured and we're still not. We go through trials. Yes, of course, so does everybody. And in Ephesians it says, chapter 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle, patiently bearing one another with love. There's the difference, you see. Patience with one another. Don't grumble. I was reminded of the speck and beam. Wonderful parable, that, wasn't it? Speck in somebody's eye and all of a sudden you've got a great beam coming out of your own. Somebody once said to me, you know, when you point your finger at somebody, three fingers are pointing back. Oh, it's so easy to find fault with others. But James is saying, yes, of course, we all have faults. We all struggle at times. We all show some form of disobedience, but nevertheless, be patient. Be steadfast in your love. Don't grumble. Don't put down. Galatians, Apostle Paul says, carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the Lord of Christ. Instead of condemning, help them carry it. Instead of mourning, help them to get through. That's what he's trying to say here. So easy to grumble, find fault. But so often, we have to look at ourselves more so. Remember what the verse says there. The judge is standing at the door. God's the ultimate judge. He knows. He knows what's going through our thoughts, what's going through our minds. He knows what we say and what we do as we particularly grumble against somebody else. They should be doing this. They should be doing that. I wouldn't have done that. Why are you not doing this? Don't grumble. Bear with one another with patience. Why? Because the judge is at the door. You know, if somebody's at the door, they can hear what's going on, especially if you put the ear to the door. He knows what's going on. He sees what's going on. And I'm sure the Lord is displeased when we grumble against one another. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. We're not accountable to each other, we're accountable to the Lord. So next time you want to grumble about somebody, remember, the Lord is listening. But then he goes on, be patient in your walk, be steadfast, don't grumble, get on with each other, help and encourage one another. And in verse 10, what does he say? Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience, in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we counted blessed those who persevered You've heard of Job's perseverance, seen about what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. There's a difference. James reminds us of the prophets of the Old Testament. You know, many of them endured tremendous hardship. You think of Job, what he went through there. Jeremiah, he was put in stocks, he was thrown in prison, he put in a dungeon. What did he do? He persisted in his faith with God. What would we do? We'd have a good moan. We'd have a good complain. Why am I in these stocks? Ah, says James, whatever the situation or circumstance, remember, God is in control. Count it, of course, joy when count it a blessing that you've persevered in the midst of all these things. And sometimes I do believe God does bring trials upon us to test our faith, to bring us on stronger in our faith as well. Job, of course, if you know in Job chapter 1, of course, he speaks about all the difficulties he went through. He's afflicted, but he showed what? Tremendous perseverance, didn't he? If I'd have been Job, I'd have thrown a towel in. But he persevered. He was steadfast. He didn't complain. He didn't grumble. He just got on with it. And what happened? There's a verse in the front of my Bible. I think I've shared this before. And this speaks to me so often, and it's always there. Job 23. But he knows the way that I am, and he has tested me so that I might come forth as gold. Isn't that a wonderful test? Whatever that trial or testing you go through, instead of grumbling, remember the Lord is bringing you through that you might come through as gold. What a wonderful thing. Gold has to be severely tested for it to be pure. And that's sometimes why we have to go through these times. Through times of testing, that we might persevere, show steadfastness, and stay in with the Lord. We see also the intended ending by the Lord. The greatest end of intended by the Lord was to use Job as a lesson to remind us that God has a good purpose even when painful things come upon us. I've been long enough, of course, in the faith to have seen many people respond in very different ways. Remember somebody who was taken ill with some particular illness, and that was it. As far as they knew, they were finished with God. What they didn't know is God could well have brought them through. God could well have healed them, or he could have used it to show his glory to them. I've seen many people fall away from the Lord. Why? Because they couldn't stand the testing. And we have to be tested. Because God wants the best for us. He wants us to be refined like gold. But sometimes there's a cost. And that's what James is saying here. Be prepared for that cost. Patient, endurance. Don't complain, don't grumble about one another, but simply look to God, who's full of compassion and mercy. That's the wonderful thing, isn't it? Full of compassion and mercy. There are times when God should have given up on us. I can certainly testify to that. Why should God have persevered with me? But he did, and he has, and he is. And I'm not perfect from any point of view. But one day, I'm going to shine forth like gold in his presence. God has a purpose for our lives. And when painful experiences are put in perspective, then we'll see the reason. I'm sure James wanted his believers to know that he understood what they were going through. He knew all the problems they were facing, all the difficulties, and so he encourages them, be patient, endure, be steadfast. Why? Because there's a harvest. Like that farmer, he could have given up and said, oh, they're never going to grow anything in this rubbish. But what the joy when he saw those crops coming up. What a joy it must be to the Lord when we see this start to shine, to develop, to be what he intended us to be. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. He could have been very harsh on Job, but he didn't. And God sometimes allows us, yes, to go through difficult trials, experiences, but always is in control. He made Job a better and blessed man than he ever was once he'd been through that trial. He can make us better in character. He can make us more humble. He can make us more blessed than we ever were. And ultimately, you know, when we think that we can't cope, remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you what is common to mankind, but God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. What's he saying here? I'm in control. Satan will never win. You're in God's hand. Satan will never have his way, but he will test you. When we go through difficult times, problems, times of testing, times of doubts, times of lack of assurance, he's there. But then we come to verse 12. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear by heaven or earth or anything else. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Now, what's he brought that in for? In the middle of this, what's this about? Well, James, of course, is echoing what Jesus said in Matthew 5, of course. And we know that, surely, don't we? Matthew 5, verse 34, and it says this. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I tell you, do not resist the evil person. If you want to slap, why? Sorry, I've got the wrong verse there. 5, verse 34, yeah. But I tell you, do not swear by an oath, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, by earth, for it's his footstool, by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one white hair or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. James is simply echoing what Jesus has already said. No need to make oaths, no need to swears beyond simple yes or no, he says, because that's simple enough. And this, of course, will be exposed if we don't follow it. So until the Lord comes, we must be people of integrity. Integrity. Always tell the truth, wherever possible. Be honest, give integrity. Don't make promises you can't keep or have no intention of keeping, he's saying. Try to live lives of experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's saying. Be open and honest. It was the Reverend Jeff Thomas who said this. God is there in every conversation, whether his name is mentioned or not. Ah, that's telling, isn't it? God is there in every conversation, whether his name is mentioned or not. Peter says, there is a city bright, closed on its gates to sin. Naught that defiles shall ever enter in. There is hope that is found in the one who has committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. Jesus simply spoke the truth. That's all we need to do. It's a wonderful example, of course, of faithfulness. These people were going through a difficult time. Very hard time. They couldn't see much in the way of blessing. They're facing tremendous hardships. But there's hope. There's hope. And we go through these difficult times. Of course we do. Sometimes more difficult than others. But through the grace of God, he brings us through. And what does he do? He says, listen, I'm there. Just as the farmer watches the crop, watches the crop. God is watching us. He's there. He sees. He knows. And as he watches us and as he looks over us, what does he say? Be patient. Be steadfast. Don't grumble. Don't moan. Just get on with it. And be honest and open. A yes is a yes and a no is a no. You don't have to pretend. Just be yourself. And let God do his work in your hearts and lives. The Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world, which includes yours and mine. I have to ask, of course, do you believe that? Do you believe that? God has taken your sins away. How? Because you've trusted and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, if there's one person here who's never experienced that, what you have to do is trust in him who died on the cross to save you from your sin, to bring you into a loving relationship with God. Just acknowledge who he is and recognize who he is and turn to him and confess Jesus is Lord. That's the good news James speaking about, the good news the Bible speaks of. Jesus became a curse that we might know forgiveness and a way to heaven. Jesus died, of course, that we might know this wonderful experience of God's provision, God's help, God's support. So in conclusion, show patience, show endurance. The Lord's return and judgment will fall on those who do not, of course. Don't complain against your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know better. Don't expect them to do things that you can't do. Do good toward them. And all these things, show compassion. Follow the examples of the servants of God who've suffered and continued in their faith. Let us know ongoing that compassion and love and mercy of God. Amen.